You're listening to the Known Legacy Podcast, brought to you by Known Legacy Ministries. For more information, go to knownlegacy.org. Now here's your hosts, Bill and Travis.
Good morning, everybody. We are so glad to have you on.
Top of the morning to you, Bill.
I kind of felt like a sportscaster. Good morning. It's a beautiful October morning.
I don't know if that's what they sound like, but anyways. Kyle, how you doing over there?
Good. Thank you.
Fantastic. Awesome. Fantastic. So it is October. And
drinking my hot coffee.
The weather's changing. The leaves are changing. Yes, the warming by the mug.
Like this,
tea.
Like this sound.
Don't ever need to hear that again from you. But thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
So tell me about the food. Fall's here, and every season seems to have its own kind of sweet spot of food.
Well, I think because Kyle brought donuts today.
He did.
And so it's kind of like brought up the food thing this morning.
Oh, yeah.
So
one of the things I miss, I grew up in Rockford, Illinois, and there was a fabulous apple orchard that we'd always go, and it was so funny because we would pay to do their work and pick the apples.
Yeah, I know.
And then we'd pay for the apples that we just picked, and then we'd get shuffled into this huge like banquet hall, and it would have like fresh apple cider, but everyone was in line for the hot, fresh apple cider donuts. And they were amazing. And I don't know why we don't do them all year. Well, I do know why. It's because the fresh. Because
I would maintain my fat all year long.
All year long. They were so good. So
they were amazing.
Why are they so good, Bill?
I would say apple cider donuts are good because that, like, you take that bite and it's a little bit cakey. And then it's like that sugar, like that, like, crunch of absolute glorious goodness. And when you heat them up in a microwave, they don't, like, fall apart.
Right.
They're just nice and...
Yeah.
And they go good with a cup of coffee.
They go good with everything. So if you're new to Known Legacy, you may not know this, but Bill and I, every time this year, we are begging people to mail us fresh apple cider donuts. And so if you want to, info@knownlegacy.org, you can get your address there, and you can check us out on the website. And
like, I would literally mail you a book if you sent me a box of donuts.
We're going to barter with you. A book for donuts.
Yes.
A book for donuts. That's what we're calling this entire thing. I did find out we might need to do a location. There is an apple orchard in the west side of the Metroplex.
What?
Right? I had no idea we could grow apple trees down here. And they actually do fresh apple cider donuts this time of year.
Where?
I promise you. My wife found it. She found it and texted me. And
Tara, you're a gift from the heavens.
She is a gift from God. She is a gift from God.
I didn't know they were this close.
I know. So we might have to go try them.
I'm a little bit offended that all the Dallasites haven't ever shared that with us.
So
it's a little bit frustrating. Thanks a lot, Kyle.
Thanks, Kyle.
You're welcome.
Did you even know that there was a...
No idea.
So we need to... Next time, we're going to go there.
Okay.
Look, west side of the Metroplex is an hour and a half away.
Still sounds reasonable for a donut.
I'm just saying I don't know everything about every area of the Metroplex.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Oh, man. Well, guys, thanks for listening today. Check us out at knownlegacy.org.
Yep.
You can check out the book, morethanyoubook.com, and check out our socials. We'd love to stay connected with you. We've got a bunch of events coming up in the next couple days, and so would love to have you be a part of some of those. So, but, hey, today, as we're talking about food, fall food, donuts, things like that, I mean, we may have an expert who's from Ohio on the line
the
with
Buckeye
us.
State.
The Buckeye State. That may be the first question. Like, what really is a Buckeye?
A Buckeye.
Man, I'm so excited. Mark, I'm so glad to have you on, man. Mark Grawlman, who is the drummer for Sanctus Real.
Woo.
So glad to have you on today, man. How is the Ohio weather this morning?
It's still feeling quite summery.
Okay.
Which is a little crazy for Ohio. It's like 85 degrees today. Blue skies, no clouds that I can see. No rain or anything. It's a nice summer day out.
Nice. Man, that's kind of sad. But as it gets colder, is there a certain cold food, like fall food that you miss or that you're looking forward to?
Oh, man. I'm definitely a coffee guy. So I love the fall flavors. I'm getting a little older these days, so I try to keep away from too much sugar and all that kind of stuff.
I get it.
Be somewhat healthy, but yeah.
Are you a pumpkin spice?
Coffee, I'm a happy man.
Are you a pumpkin spice or an apple cider kind of guy?
I like pumpkin spice.
Okay.
I don't do it too often. It's kind of a a little treat every once in a while.
Okay. Okay. I get it.
He's a good man. He's disciplined.
We have a hard brimmed hat for you. Yes. that we can give you as you drink your. Maybe some like Han Solo boots and like a vest. You know what I'm saying?
That'd be fantastic.
I love that meme. It's like it's Han Solo Perfect. Season. So it's great. Well, Mark, we are so glad to have you on today, man. Like I said, Mark is the drummer for Sanctus Real, and we wanted to talk to him because he has an awesome story about his father, about fathers, things like that. So share your story, Mark, as God continues to solidify, man, who you are as a man of God and your journey as a father and a husband and things like that.
Yeah. I'll start here. just something that, as Bill, as you and I have kind of gotten to know each other here a little bit, it's been interesting to me. Obviously, your whole ministry is based on the idea of legacy. And it's just been kind of amazing that I'm meeting you at this certain point in my life because that's something God's been speaking to me about.
Praise the Lord.
The past few years, more and more. I'm sure we'll talk about it in a little bit, but I've started working on a book, and a big portion of the book is about this idea of legacy. The way I tackled in the book is I call it the end. And, my whole thing lately is, for quite a while now, is just learning to live our lives with the end in mind. Trying to gain an eternal perspective. And the reason why I think that's become such just something that just won't let go of my heart is because of this particular experience. My dad, unfortunately, went to be with the Lord at the age of 47.
He was young.
Wow.
He was very young. In fact, in one more year, I'll be 47. Less than a year.
Wow.
In February. And, I won't go into the full story, otherwise we'll be sitting here for 2 hours and all weeping by the end of it, so I won't do that to us. But basically, in a nutshell, he had a stomach ache one day. How often do we all get a stomach ache and assume it's no big deal? And 99% of the time, it isn't a big deal. But for him, that particular stomach ache proved to be a serious problem. And it literally went over in 2 months' time, from a stomach ache to a cancer diagnosis to we were literally holding a funeral in 2 months, and just totally unexpected.
Can I ask a quick question? Yeah. How old are you at that point? How old were you?
This was right around 20 years ago.
Wow.
So okay. I'm like 20. Well, I guess I'm 26 at that point.
Wow.
Probably getting close to 27. Or was I 27? I might have just turned 27 because he passed away in April. My birthday is in February.
Gotcha.
wow.
So, but the thing that was so crazy about the timing of it was the fact that my wife and I were pregnant with our first born child, our first son. And so literally the way this all went down was like we were scheduled to have a C-section on a Friday. My dad had gone into the hospital that Monday prior to that and had testing all week long. And Friday we roll into the exact same hospital, Toledo Hospital here in Ohio.
Wow.
And my wife and I have the C-section. We have our little boy, who's not little anymore. He's 19. His name's Ben. And so Ben's born, and literally 2 hours after Ben's born, my sister comes down from the room one floor above us where my dad was and tells us the test results are back. Dad has cancer.
Wow.
And, I'm the oldest, so I was the first to get married, the first to have a kid and all that. So it's like, all this stuff leading up to this time, like my dad was about to become a grandfather, and he was like thrilled, and he I'll just we're talking to men here, so I'll just throw it out there. We were thrilled to be having a boy. My dad was like super pumped because, just something about a grandson, that's a big deal for a guy, So he's looking forward to all of the grandfather things, being the world's greatest grandpa kind of stuff. And watching me have a son of my own and all that. Like, we were just so pumped about this experience we were about to embark on. And then literally the day my son is born, he gets this news that he's not going to be around for it. And sure enough, 2 months later, he's gone.
Wow.
So.
Wow. That makes an impact on you.
Not to just dump all this on you, but.
No, that's. Yeah. Wow.
So you're approaching the age that your dad passed away, and those dates matter, and they impact us. How are you journeying toward that in your own heart and your own kind of perspective now?
Again, it's so interesting, the timing of all this. I feel like, God is just really, he's given me a lot of gifts through this journey that I've been on since that point in my life. Anybody who's experienced a loss like that knows that it's, you want to be able to just kind of get over it. To be honest, to be frank about it, it's like you hope to just be able to just get over that kind of stuff and move on with life. But, here I am 20 years later, and it's still a big deal to me. It's like, at the age of 46 and, married and three kids and, an adult, so they tell me, man.
I know someone said we had to grow up sometime. I don't get that whole thing.
Right. Yeah. Supposedly it's true. When something that traumatic happens, it just sticks with you, and it becomes a big part of your story and your journey. And, and that's what it's been for me. And I just feel like at this point, the timing of it is so interesting because I wasn't planning on writing a book. It's something really that the other guys in the band kind of put me up to. And I was feeling God kind of tugging at my heart with the idea of it for a while. And really, it's a fairly recent thing for me to even acknowledge that I apparently have some gifting in that area, and that I've just never really used it or even tried. Just the timing of it with, the age that I'm at, I feel like it's God's gift to me right now, like a way to work through this in kind of a, it's kind of like therapy right now.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit doing some therapy in my heart through writing this book. So
as you've gone through that therapy, and I'm sure you've reflected now, you talked about legacy and the legacy that your dad left you, even though he was there for only 26, 27 years. What are some of the things that have come to the surface for you? What are some of the aha moments or cathartic moments that you're like, whew, wow, I didn't even realize that impact that he made on me. Now that you've had a chance to sit with it and reflect on it and try to codify it into written language in a book that can be passed on to your kids, your grandkids, and your great-grandkids.
Yeah, the biggest thing that if I could choose one takeaway from my dad's life and the legacy that he left, it's the importance of obedience. Obedience in those moments that it would be really easy to shy away from it or really difficult to go through with it. Can't even comprehend the impact it's going to have. So, excuse me. So for me, what I mean by that specifically is, the whole reason why I even know the Lord at all at this stage in my life, and I can say this for my mom and my two younger sisters as well, it was all a result of my dad's act of obedience. My parents both had come to know Jesus as, kind of late teens, early 20s, basically from people kind of street witnessing to them, right? Like sharing the gospel with them randomly.
Yeah.
And they both accepted Christ, but neither of them grew up in Christian homes.
Fascinating.
There was no real discipleship or anything like that. So early on, as a young kid. I can remember us going to church every once in a while, but it wasn't real consistent. Eventually, we didn't really go at all. So, like, as a kid, like, if you asked me, you know, do you believe in God? I probably would have said, like, oh, yeah, I prayed this prayer once and asked this guy named Jesus to come into my heart, you know? And,
yeah,
yep,
yeah.
Yep. And that was kind of the thing, you know, as a, I don't know, I was probably 7 or 8 years old. And, you know, but there was really nothing about the way we lived our lives as a family, as a whole, that would have, you know, shown anybody that we were followers of Jesus. By the time I'm 15, about to turn 16, this guy that used to live next door to my dad calls my dad out of the blue, basically says, hey, I know we haven't talked in a few years at this point, but for some reason, your family has been really heavy on my heart. And I've been praying for you guys for the past 3 weeks. And I just felt like God told me to call you and say, it's time to make a decision. Are you in or are you out? Are you going to follow me or not?
Wow.
And so he kind of lays this on my dad like that.
Well, and what an act of obedience from this guy.
My dad.
Like crazy act of obedience that he kind of nominally knows you guys. And this word has been given to him. And I'm sure it had been weeks.
Probably wrestled
with
it.
And he's like, no, I'm not going to have that conversation. That's an awkward. I could kill the relationship. Like right here, right now, I could kill this relationship.
Yeah.
I'm putting it all on the line. And the fact that he was willing to have that obedient posture to say to your dad, hey, dude, God's given me a word. And the word is, are you in or are you out? Are you hot or are you cold? None of this lukewarm stuff anymore. That's right. Fascinating.
Yeah. Yeah.
So continue the story. Continue the story.
No, you're good. That proved to be such a huge moment because my dad had to really make a decision, you know, like, what am I going to do with this? You know, and as when God speaks to somebody, as you know, it's like, it just burns a hole in your heart. Like, you got to do something, you know, and it rested on my dad like that, just such a conviction. That what he ended up doing, he decided to set us all down for like a family meeting one night and basically told us that we're going to start going back to church as a family every Sunday. You kids are going to be in this thing called a youth group on Wednesday nights. And if there's church on Sunday nights, we're going then too. You know,
like, so how old were you when this conversation happened? And how old were you when this conversation happened? And what were you thinking when dad sits you down for this meeting and kind of lays out the law?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so I was probably just a few months shy of my 16th birthday.
Okay.
And I think my mom, my sisters, myself, all of us, I think we all had the same thought in our heads, like, wow, this is like midlife crisis time. My dad has lost his mind. Like, he just flipped his lid.
This will last a month, and then we'll get back to the way things used to be.
Exactly. Yep. I think that was exactly what we all were thinking, like, this is weird, but okay, whatever. But sure enough, we started going to this church that we were loosely a part of, you know, as little children. And, it, you know, again, it's kind of a longer story, but within like 3 to 4 months, all of us ended up recommitting our lives to Jesus. And
fantastic.
God just did this radical thing where he just like, totally 180'd our family.
Wow.
And we ended up kind of being one of those crazy Jesus freak families where, you know, I was like going to my public school with my Bible in my hand and Christian music now and all that kind of stuff.
I know.
If
Jesus
only
bumper
if,
stickers on my car. That
exactly.
Kind of stuff.
I guess if only it like paid off in the long run. I don't know. You know, gosh.
Right.
Man.
Yeah. So it's just, you know, that, for me, I think reflecting on all that at this point in my life, it just amazes me and really convicts me as far as, you know, how am I going to lead my family? How am I going to be that kind of an example of obedience to the Lord to my three sons? Because I've got three boys that are 19, 16, and 13. So I got three teenage boys in the house who are, you know, living in a crazier world than I did when I was their age.
Yep.
And, you know, I want more than anything to see all my kids grow up to love and follow Jesus and marry godly women and raise godly kids. And, you know, like, I want to see this legacy continue. It started with my parents, and I want to see it continue on and on and on.
So Mark, I got a question for you. As you know, this podcast is kind of geared towards men, but men and women both listen, and we appreciate all the women out there listening.
Yeah, absolutely.
Info Known Legacy, let us know you're in. And so let's just hypothetically put this out. You have a chance to gather together the men that are listening to this, and you're going to have a family meeting with them. And kind of like what your dad did with your family, what would you encourage the heart of the men that are listening that are waffling? And I'm kind of like, I'm doing the church thing. I kind of get it, but I'm doing it more for my wife. I'm doing it more for my kids. But, you know, I got other priorities. What word would you bring to them at this family meeting right now on this podcast to say, get after it? Like, what would you say?
I would say stop fearing intimacy.
Ooh, that's good. Yeah.
Don't be afraid to be known and to know the people that God has put in your life, especially those closest to you, your wife, your kids. Drop your guard and just let them see your heart. And most of all, don't be afraid of legitimate intimacy with your Heavenly Father. Mm. You know, God knows you already inside and out, and there's nothing you can hide from Him. So just accept the fact and receive the fact that you are fully loved just as you are, and make it a daily habit to get in His presence and just sit at His feet and listen to whatever He has to say for that day. Because, you know, for myself, like, I'm just learning more and more, reminded constantly that is, like, literally the only thing that can change any situation in my life. You know, Jesus made it really clear that we can't do anything apart from Him. We are meant to abide in Him every day. And so, you know, we have this free access to the creator of the universe because of what Jesus did through His life, death, and resurrection. It's like, why do we not take more advantage of that? You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, the way it'll change us and in effect change those around us is, I mean, it's a treasure, you know, it's priceless. It's too precious to not take advantage of. So stop being afraid of intimacy, drop your guard, dig in deep.
I love that.
You know, make room for that.
Yeah. And I love that intimacy language, because I think we have unwittingly with our desire to know about who God is, we've forgotten that it is a deep, intimate relationship. And I put it into the marriage relationship. Like, I can know all the data about my wife, but at the end of the day, it's not knowing all the data. It's just spending time with her.
Yeah.
It's having a meal with her. It's waking up and enjoying that little brief conversation as she's getting ready in the morning to see how she's doing, to talk about the day that's ahead. And it's just this intimate, he just wants to be with us. And that whole abiding section is just like, dude, I just want to be with you. Like, be with me. Just spend time in my presence and let me bear fruit through your life. It's not about knowing all the minutiae and all the details and being able to quote scriptures from the Old and the New Testament. And that stuff is all good and all beneficial for sure. But at the end of it, it's like, man, I have something amazing for you and for your family. And I can't get there if we just don't spend time together. So would you just be with me on a regular basis so that I could know you and you can know you the way that I know you. And I think that's so huge, so huge.
And you hit a really good point, Mark, about the idea of intimacy, because there's so many times in churches that you see a guy and he does not engage in worship. And I mean actively in worship, but not just serving, but like engaged. And there is this statistics. I can't remember the statistic, but I do like statistics. This idea.
Just making up. Most of them are made
exactly,
up.
Exactly, right.
Just
numbers out. But it's funny, but there's this massive change of a father who just exists at that, you know, at like a church.
Yep.
And a father who worships, and the lifelong implications it has as his kids are watching him worship God. Mm-hmm. It's really interesting, like what it does to the psyche, and I don't want to get like all that type of like what it causes kids to go, wait, if my dad is unashamed in front of all these other men to worship God, that literally changes the paradigm on these kids' lives,
right,
of how they decide to pursue. And they're like, they don't, not a word is spoken. Not a word is spoken, but a dad who's actively involved in worship, a dad who's actively involved in serving, it changes. Like, the kids aren't going to go up and go, hey, Dad, I noticed that today. I'm going to be a better husband when I grow up. Like, but they truly are.
Right.
And so I love what you're saying about the idea of not being afraid, because that's intimacy, yeah, is the line of courage. The minute that you're willing to be intimate is the moment that you truly are strong and courageous. It's not a matter of I'm going to just go and be bold in front of somebody, but I'm going to be bold intimately in front of God, in front of others.
Yeah.
And it changes the paradigm. So I love what you're saying.
I love it.
So, okay, so you've got that. Now, help me out now, because it's caused you to want to write this book. Can you share a little bit about the book?
Yeah.
As much as you can. I don't want to, like... I don't want spoiler alerts, but you know.
It's not done yet.
That's okay.
No, yeah. So the book is called Sanctus, Life as a Hymn of Praise. Obviously kind of based around the idea of the name of the band. You know, obviously most people know me as the drummer of Sanctus Real. And so, you know, it's a little bit, the book is a little bit autobiographical in the sense that it tells that story of how the band started to a degree, and but more specifically about just kind of the vision that God gave us as a group of young guys who were just trying to play music for God, the vision that the Lord gave us, and but then it kind of morphs into how that vision has really affected all of our lives, and how God has used it to shape all the various things that we've all gone on to do. Obviously, the lineup of the band isn't exactly the same. I know you guys are friends with Matt Hammett, our original singer, and you know, God, you know, almost 10 years ago now, obviously, you know, kind of gave us all a spin around, and we're, you know, shockingly took him out of it and sent him on a different path, and maybe even more shockingly felt like the Lord told Chris and I to keep going, which, you know, at the time it was definitely, Chris had a lot more faith than I did. I thought, well, I guess we're done, you know.
It's that, yeah, obedience, like, though,
yeah,
proven to have other plans.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. So yeah, just, you know, the book kind of launches from that, these stories of my life, you know, the stories about my dad and whatnot are in there, but at the heart of it, the book is going to be on discipleship. Just what does it really look like to know God and to follow him the way that Jesus describes what it looks like to follow him in scripture, just kind of, you know, what it means to be a disciple.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's really the heart of the book.
I love it. I got a random question, and I've never asked Matt this either. What does Sanctus Real mean? Like, what does it mean? Because I'm like, I don't know why I've never asked him, but I was like, because I think we've been sitting there, and I'll sit down. I'm like, I've never had the, because another conversation comes up, because I'm like, I need to find out what Sanctus Real means. Because okay, really quick, yeah. Because when I first, one of the first songs, obviously I've heard some of them, but when you guys did Beautiful Day, that's when it really like turned for me. I'm like, bro, these guys can play music. Like, what happened? That's awesome. And so it was just cool. But then, but the one radio guy kept calling it Sanctus Real, and I'm like, I'm pretty sure you're saying it wrong. But okay. So what does Sanctus Real mean? Just from what you guys started.
Yeah. So yeah, I laughed because I've been telling this story for 28 years now, probably once a week, 28 years. And, you know, so I've got it down to a science. So here we go. I'll give you my spiel.
Okay.
I literally came across the word Sanctus in Webster's Dictionary. I was 18 when we started the band.
Okay.
I was looking for another word, but I saw that and it jumped off the page of me because it reminded me of words like sanctified or sanctuary. Like, it was obvious it has to have something to do with church.
Right. Know? Yeah.
And so when I read Yeah. So when I read the definition, it said that it's a hymn of praise sung at the end of the Eucharistic liturgy. Like in Orthodox churches, they sing, you know, it's properly pronounced Sanctus, but I didn't know that at the age of 18. So I've been saying Sanctus and convincing millions of people to mispronounce a word for the last 20 years.
Yes.
You're welcome.
Welcome. Yeah, that's like my world. That's good.
But yeah, so at the end of the liturgy, they sing Sanctus, Sanctus, Sanctus. And it's just Latin for holy. So they're literally singing holy, holy, holy.
Yep.
So it's a song of worship that they're singing to God. So I thought that'd be a really cool name for a Christian band, which I was trying to start one with my friends, Matt and Chris, and the other original members. And there was another guy in the band at the time who was playing guitar with us named Mike. And he said, I feel like we should use the word real in the band name. And so I was like, okay, how about Sanctus Real? And that's like literally as much thought as went into that in that moment.
It's pretty awesome, let's be honest.
That's fantastic.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome. So I love that. I've never heard that story, so I'm glad you shared that with me today. Thank you so much.
Man, yeah. We appreciate you being on today and sharing your story and sharing, again, the legacy of a dad who gets called out. And guys are uniquely gifted to receive being called out. And, man, the fact that he was willing to overturn his entire life and paradigm and comfort and routine to get his family into the presence of God on a regular basis and how that has blessed teens and young adults and adults for the last 28 years through the band and everything else is just fantastic. So, man, thank you. And I'm excited to see that book when it comes out. Any idea on when the publication date is going to be on that?
There's no official date yet. I've still got some writing to wrap up on it, but my goal, hopefully, is to have it out by the spring.
Okay. Nice.
Well, we want to know about that so we can promote it on our stuff as well and share, because I do believe that we share the same heart when it comes. The more that we've talked, we share the same heart for men and discipleship and honest, authentic discipleship of not
real,
just learning.
Real discipleship.
Like, yeah.
Real. Like holy, real discipleship.
Discipleship real.
We get it.
You get it? Okay. Yeah. Real, as they say in
French. I see what you did there.
The real.
But so as we finish up, man, hey, before we get into the Fast Five, any thoughts, any last words you'd like to share with those who are listening about your journey or anything you'd like to say? Hey, I'd want to wrap up like this.
Oh, man. You know, I would just say don't ever buy into the lie that you're too far gone. You know, wherever you're at as a man, as a husband or a father, I've never met a single honest man who thinks he's got it all together and, you know, has just really perfected this whole thing of, you know, being a husband and a dad. Most of us beat ourselves up more than we ought to, I think. And, you know, most of us feel like we fail more than we succeed. And, at the end of the day, man, that stuff, you know, Jesus is not the accuser. Satan is.
He's
the one who is referred to as the accuser of the brethren. So if you struggle with those thoughts and those feelings, rebuke that stuff. Don't listen to that.
Man, that's a good word, man.
Only dial into what God has to say about you and what you're called to be.
Awesome, man. Love it. Well, as we finish up, we have a special segment called Fast Five. Oh. I've got that.
It's so drive time cheesy. I love it.
I think it's great.
It's fantastic.
Can I hear that again?
It's amazing.
There it is. That's awesome. Okay, so question number one for you, Mark. Who do you most admire and why?
Man. You know, this is going to sound like the goody two shoes guy thing to say, but my wife. And that's not just to get brownie points. That's legitimately serious. And, you know, I don't want to take up more time than what's necessary, but, you know, if.
Is she in the room with you?
So she is not.
This is why
she's amazing. She is on her way right now to a retreat. where she leads women's retreats for women who are recovering from having had an abortion.
Wow.
So she is a director of a ministry called The Haven that is all about helping women who have gone through that experience and have, you know, possibly have wrestled with guilt and shame and whatnot.
Yes. She, wow.
Helps them receive their forgiveness and receive healing and receive the plan of redemption that God has for them. So yeah, my wife is my hero.
That's amazing.
Good call. Good call.
That is awesome. Yeah. Well, we will probably tag her in this then at that segment. I'll make a little section of that just so you can get all the brownie points as possible. Because yeah, when you marry out of your league, yes. You know it.
And yeah.
You just proclaim it. So, well, good. Yep. Question number two: where would you like to take your family for a vacation?
Oh man, my wife has been kind of obsessed with this idea of going to Italy at some point.
That's nice.
She watched a show, I can't remember the name of the show now, but you know, like something on some streaming series about this famous actor guy who goes, he's from Italy originally or something like that, and you know, goes and basically just walks all around Italy and tries the amazing foods. And we are foodies to a degree. And
nice.
So yeah, one of these days we're all going to go to Italy and just eat all the food. So look out, Italy. Here we come.
I love it. I love it. Look out, Italy. Here it is. So, okay. Number three, what are you currently reading? Whether it's the Bible or another book or both?
Well, this book here is pretty good.
Woohoo! I love it. That's
I
a
like
good,
that.
That's
he
a solid.
Became our favorite guest. For those listening, it's Bill's book, and you can also get the audio version as well as the print version from Amazon.com or go to morethanyou.com for all the information.
.com.
That's well done. Awesome. Well done, sir.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I just started, and I actually went ahead and got the audio book as well because obviously I'm on planes and buses and all sorts of traveling things all the time, so... I do better with audiobooks, to be honest. So I downloaded it, and I just started it last week, and I think I'm about a third of the way through. But
wow,
so far it's really
he has marked
good
it
stuff,
up with
though,
red. So. He's marked it up with red everywhere. And so, no, thank you so much.
Well, he's learned that Bill's voice puts him to sleep like none
exactly.
other. So
funny enough, my wife says the same thing. She pretty much is about that too.
The more you talk, the better I sleep.
The better I sleep. Oh gosh! Well, dude, that's awesome, man. Are you reading anything specific in the scriptures as well?
Yeah, you know, I've been. I don't know if you guys are familiar with the Bible Project.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's great. Yeah, right? Yeah.
Yeah. So I've been doing the last few years. I've been doing one of their Read Your Bible in a Year programs.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's awesome.
But this year, I decided to do just the New Testament. So I'm going through the New Testament in a year. The next year, I'm going to do the Old Testament. So yeah, I just started 2 Corinthians. So
nice. That's
fantastic.
Yeah. Nice,
I have read it before, but, you know.
Dude, and that's the thing with Scripture, man. You come back to it over and over again, and your life is different, but God's Word's the same, but it hits you in a different place in a different way every single time. I love it. I love it.
But send us a text when you're reading through Leviticus, because we'll start praying for you at that moment just to make it through.
Or Numbers.
We'll do.
You can we'll do, do it. You can do it. So awesome, awesome. Okay, question number four. What is a goal you have for this year?
Oh, man. Well, finish my book.
There you go. That's a
that's probably the biggest goal.
We just laid a softball out there for you.
Yeah.
Awesome, awesome.
It's better than starting a book.
It's better than starting a book. Yes, yeah, we've already in the midst of the finish. So, and then last question, what's the most impactful piece of advice you have been given?
You know, that question stumps me. Because I've been blessed to like get a lot of really great advice from a lot of great people.
Yeah.
I will say this because again it's something that my dad said to me, and I'm just so thankful because I know how many people out there unfortunately don't get to pull this off. And, you know, not that I pulled it off, but God has pulled it off for me.
Yeah.
My dad told me when I was younger to do something you love for a living. Find what you love to do and make that your job, because then you'll never have to work a day in your life.
Mm.
And I'm sure that's one of those things that probably everybody's heard something like that throughout life, but for whatever reason, that always stuck with me, and just really encouraged me, obviously, with just, you know, being an 18-year-old kid trying to start a rock band and having the blissful ignorance of how often that does not work out for most people.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, you know, just being a young, dumb kid, you had the nerve to think, I think we can pull this off. I think we can do this.
And you did. And we did.
That's so awesome.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
No, that's good stuff, man. Thank you so much for those. Mark, we are so excited to have you on. Guys, listen, check out Sanctus Real at sanctusreal.com. And
the bougie version.
What is it? Demure? Is that the word everyone's using? The demure version.
Oh, but yeah, so demure.
So check them out for their tours. They might be around an area close to you. So check them out, and then be on the lookout for his book. I know that we will promote it once it gets out, and that'll be on my list of what I'm reading when I am done next year. So I'm looking forward to that. But Mark, thank you once again for being on the podcast again, and we are grateful for you. Hopefully.
It's our large studio audience.
It's a big studio audience.
Yeah.
But hopefully we'll have you back on again. We'd love to have you again, and excited to see what God has in store in the future for you. So any last thoughts, Travis?
Man, thank you so much for your words. And gentlemen, man, get intimate with God. Get intimate with God, and it'll change everything. And I promise you won't regret it.
Guys, thanks a lot for tuning into us today. Check us out at knownlegacy.org for questions, comments, and concerns. Travis@knownlegacy.org.
You can for complaints,
send that to him. But no, we'd love to hear from you and share this with your friends. So thank you guys so much for listening and watching. Have a great week.
God bless.
Thanks for listening to the Known Legacy Podcast. We'd love to hear from you. So email us your questions or comments to info@knownlegacy.org.